Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, it's Monday afternoon. It's a hot one out there. But I tell you what, if you're looking for good food, you know where to go. Grits and Groceries. That's right. I've got Heidi Troll here with us today. How you doing, Heidi?
I'm super today. Yeah. And I'm pretending like it's not hot.
You are? Yes. Well, it's pretty comfortable in here.
Yeah.
If you step outside, it's pretty darn hot. But gosh, how you been doing? It's been a couple of years since you've been here, I think.
Actually, we were here last year.
About
this time, I think.
Was
maybe.
It? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm wrong. Okay.
Wow. Maybe it was Mother's Day last year. We were here just before Mother's Day.
Right.
And we're good. I can't complain about a thing. And we're not, like I said, we're not going to complain about the heat because every time somebody mentions it in the kitchen, it gets 5 degrees hotter.
Wow.
So we have a no talk about it policy, no thermometers, and no talk about it.
Well, you just came back from vacation.
I did.
Yes. What did you do on your vacation?
Well, I spent my vacation visiting some of our fabulous state parks with our horses. My son and I ride, and Joe stays and cooks lunch for us for when we get back, which we think is a wonderful thing for him to do.
It's pretty darn fabulous,
yeah.
Yes.
People say, don't you wish he'd ride? Oh, no. This is much better. So we went up into the Oconee State Park area and rode at Whetstone, and we went to Croft State Park and rode horses and just enjoyed hanging out and being together as a family, which was our first time doing that. Usually we try to do something, and then we're exhausted when we come back. So I said, this year we're going to try doing nothing.
And it worked.
Really nice.
Yeah. It's hard to do nothing, though, isn't it?
Well, the problem for us is we live next door to the restaurant, so I can't stay home because I feel guilty. The first year that we were closed for a vacation, I made ham biscuits and coffee and stood out front and gave them out to everybody that came that didn't know we were closed. So the second year, I just made coffee with no ham biscuits, and I weaned myself back. But I just feel, when you see that family pull up and everybody get out and they have that sad look on their face, I can't stand it.
So you have to not be there.
Right. So yes. We have to go somewhere.
Yes, I understand. That's like here at Sharp Facets. We work here a lot, and sometimes it's very tempting when you're closed to be able to come in and be able to work. And then somebody's knocking at the door, and you're going, okay. And then, you know, you might as well either be open or you shouldn't be here.
Yep, that's how it works for us.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. But this week, you, of course, are every week, you have food right up there at the Uptown Markets. How are you doing up there?
The Uptown Market has really saved our business. Coming to Greenwood, you know, if we had known about Greenwood first, we would have come here. But when Charlie Barineau talked to us about coming and helping be part of the flagship of the Uptown Market, we were so excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, it'll last for 6 months to a year, and I think we're in our third year doing it now.
Right.
And it just grows and grows and grows. We can't wait till they get the new facility built, and we get to see how much it can grow.
Sure. But the traffic and everything is good there, and every week you bring delicious food for people to buy to take home and not have to cook.
That's right, we do. I think no one should cook at home. It's bad for your health.
So, you know, Greenwood definitely believes in that. You know, there is not a restaurant that usually doesn't do well in Greenwood because everybody seems to eat out.
And that is really good. That's how it should be. No one should cook at home.
No one should cook at home.
And so what we do is on Sunday or Monday, Penny Parisi sends me the list of what she's going to be picking and bringing to me. And then we write our menu for the farmers markets. And then on Tuesday, I cook all the food for it, and we package it and chill it and send it on Wednesdays. So the idea is every package is meant to feed two people.
Mm-hmm.
My son and husband and I eat one, so really you can feed three, except he is entering that teen boy stage, and I saw him eat two of the beef stews, which is meant for four people.
So you're expecting things to change?
With him, yes.
With him, yes.
Yes. It's well, like a squirrel. You can't keep him fed.
Yeah. Well, that's on Wednesday from 10 to 2. And it looks like you're going to have, chicken salad, pimento cheese, coleslaw, potato salad, hamburger steak with gravy, pork loin with macaroni and cheese, grilled chicken with peas and beans, shrimp salad, quiche of the day, southwestern pot roast with black beans, eggplant parmigiana, and Hattie Mae tomato pie and cakes, pies, and cookies.
That's it. And everything that we bring at the farmer's market is something that we get from our local growers. We're not going to the store and buying this food. And that's why you'll see a lot of the ground beef, because we raise our own cow. And 80% of the...
Wait a minute. You raise your own cow?
We raise our own cows. Every 30 days, we butcher a cow for the farmer's market.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, a cow is 80% ground beef. So I have become very creative in ground beef dishes. We have French braised meatballs. We have hamburger steak. We have 12 different types of meatloaf that I make different ways. We make empanadas. If you can put ground beef in it, we figured it out.
That's pretty terrific. But now, why are you so passionate about using local growers, local food, and, you know, then the cow that has to give its life every 30 days?
Hey, my cows, the last 30 days of life, eat nothing but M&Ms, so they're very happy.
I remember that now. Yes, M&Ms, because it makes the meat sweeter, right?
Yes, peanut M&Ms, so they get their protein, too.
Wow.
Well,
do they know? Here's what I want to know, though, when they go, you know, I'm getting peanut M&Ms. You think there's something wrong here? Because Joe, next door to me, used to have peanut M&Ms, and now Joe's not here anymore.
They just know they go to a better place. I don't know. If you've ever talked to a cow, they're not that smart. They're not going to figure that out.
They're not going to figure it out. No. Okay.
They say, ooh, food, eat. That's pretty much the extent of a cow's brains.
But what does it mean, Heidi, as far as, you know, you have been in the restaurant business, and of course your husband has, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but what does it mean to the food from your perspective?
Well, I grew up on a big farm in the lower part of the state, and I've always believed in buying local. That was preached to us as children. And then here, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, when the economy really tanked, we just were not going to make enough money to stay open. And instead of cutting corners and offering crappy food, I said, well, we're going to go the other way. We're going to buy the best local ingredients we can and charge accordingly and give it a try. And it's worked for us. And I feel good about it. My neighbors are happy about it. It's a win-win. We are the sole income providers for 6 families in our community. So for us, that's really important. We're not making a ton of money, but everybody's happy. We know that what we eat is good. Yeah, we know that what we eat is good. We know that we're taking care of the people in our community.
And, you know, for those that have never been to Grits and Groceries, I mean, you can get things right over there at the farmer's market, and you will see Grits and Groceries at quite a few events around Greenwood. They're very well known. But where exactly is your location where people can actually come and see you?
Well, we are at the center of the universe. We are at the corner of 185 and 284, which is halfway between Due West and Anderson.
Sailor's Crossing?
Sailor's Crossroads. So we're 9 miles from Star Iva, 9 miles from Due West, 9 miles from Honey of Path, 9 miles from Belton, and 9 miles from Anderson.
When we come back, we're going to tell you how she got there. It's a very interesting story, if I remember correctly. We'll come back and talk about all this. Hey, don't you go away. If you got a question for Heidi, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I am with Heidi Troll here this afternoon. We're talking about Grits and Groceries. That's her place. But, Heidi, how would you end up 9 miles from everything at Sailor's Crossing? I mean, you know, when you look at the place, it looks a little like a rundown place. I mean, how'd you end up there?
Hey, we painted it one time.
Particularly because you're from New Orleans. I mean, you lived in New Orleans, had a place in New Orleans.
Well, I had a restaurant in New Orleans, and we put it up for sale. I had a baby, and we decided we were going to move. And I thought it would take us a year or so to sell it, and we'd have time to look around. Well, it sold in a day. A guy walked in, wrote a check, and asked for the keys and asked me to leave. And I didn't realize that it worked that way, but he became the owner of my restaurant that day. So the other problem we had was we had 45 days to spend that money that we made selling our restaurant or lose it all to taxes.
Right.
So we jumped in the car and drove around and told all of our family, you each have 2 days to show us what you have to offer. And I'm from Sumter, so we looked around Sumter some, and Manning and Santee, and then up this way, and where Joe's from in North Carolina. And everywhere we went, I went past that store for some reason. And I said, you know, it's my place. I think that's my place. So I told Joe to, you know, talk to the real estate lady and see what it took to make that be my place. And it worked. It did. We bought it. We went back to New Orleans, enjoyed Jazz Fest, and then came back and started on it. And luckily we did, because Katrina was the next month.
Wow. There has to be something to, you know, a blessing, you know, timing. Yep.
A lot of our friends in New Orleans were really mad at us. They thought, you know, if you knew this was happening and you got out, why didn't you tell us? Little forewarning.
Yeah. So how did you meet your husband?
I met him doing an apprenticeship at the inn in the mountains of North Carolina in Glendale Springs. And he was a big, goofy pastry chef, and we flirted a little, but he had a girlfriend and I had a boyfriend, and that's as far as it went. And then a couple of years later, I came back to the area to work at the same inn, and he was still around. And I thought, well, I'll try it. I'll see what happens. I said, you know, it's not, doesn't meet my criteria. I'm looking for a social, I was going to climb the corporate ladder. So I was looking for a corporate ladder climbing husband.
Right.
And I said, he'll be fun for a little while. And that was 19 years ago. Well, actually 22 years ago. We've been married 19 years now.
Wow.
I think I'll keep him.
Yeah, but and of course he is a he has worked for he's worked in some very fancy places.
Yes, well, we both worked for Emeril. He was Emeril's pastry chef for 10 years, and he worked in Winston-Salem, and he worked at the Glendale Springs Inn. He was the pastry chef there. He's the stable one. He keeps the jobs longer than I do. I said that, you know, that's why I have to work for myself. I'm really the only boss I can stand, and sometimes I argue with myself. You know.
Well, you know, you all have made an amazing amazing event place to go to. And I think a lot of people look at it like that. It's not just going out to eat. It's an event to go over there and eat. I mean, and everything that you look at around there is very entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. We have a performing dog.
Performing, you know, dog.
The black dog. He rolls in the crushed rock and gets gray and drags a leg around like he's hurt and begs for food a little bit. And people say, oh, poor thing. One of our neighbors said that there are witches performing in the woods behind us. And so I was really hoping to catch that. I thought that would be great on the brochures, you know, right. Witches show at 2, 4, and 6. But I can't seem to see them.
You haven't been able to talk to them and set a rate for this.
No, I haven't. I was thinking, you know, I'd be like the only restaurant in the upstate that had this show. And with the restaurant, we try to do it so it hits a little bit of everyone. We have, you know, it's $8.75 for our lunch special during the week. And I try to keep it so you can have lunch for $10. And then on Friday and Saturday, we change the format a little bit. Or also on our Thursday night menu, we change the format a little bit so that, you know, it is an event place. You're going out to dinner, you have a glass of wine, something a little higher end. Like I said, we do butcher our own cows, so we save the ribeyes and the strips and the tenderloins for Thursday night. And then we have Mike McCall in Honeypath does our pork for us. And once you eat pork that's fresh and local, you'll never be able to eat store-bought pork again. I can't believe the difference that it makes. During vacation, I had to eat store-bought pork, and yeah. I was not happy.
We're not happy. Well, you know, one of the things that you do every week, you were telling me on Thursday, is liver and onions.
Every Thursday we have liver and onions because I know there are a lot of wives that do not want to cook it for their husbands, and only the men eat it usually. So for 10 years here and 8 years in New Orleans, every Thursday I have liver and onion, and it's a calf's liver. Mm-hmm. And we fry it, pan fry it, smother it in onion gravy, and serve it with roasted potatoes.
You know, this doesn't sound like skinny food.
It is healthy food because everything is fresh and local. I get picked on a lot, but I think if you eat my food every day, you'll probably be better off than eating a lean cuisine.
Yes. Well, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it does have gravy. It does have fried potatoes. It does have all these things. I was looking at your palmetto burger with a big scoop of homemade palmetto cheese on top.
Yeah, that's not for the dieter.
No, that doesn't sound like diet food at all.
I'd love to know what the calorie count on that is, but to watch people eat it is so much fun. So it's an 8-ounce grass-fed beef patty, well, finished with M&M's, grass-fed beef, which means I can't call it natural beef because I feed it M&M's, and the M&M's have unnatural food coloring, but they're happy cows. and a scoop of pimento cheese, and then I slather the Texas toast in butter and grill it, and then we serve it with mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, bacon, and our fresh-cut fries.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. So do you have people there every day, or do people make it an event to come there?
A third of my customers come 4 days a week.
A third of them? Wow.
A third of my customers come once a week, and a third of my customers are people that come once a month. So we have a great mix of people, and we have two gentlemen that live in Greenville that have a manufacturing plant in Belton, mm-hmm. and they come Tuesday through Friday, and then they don't come from Greenville on Saturday, but they come Tuesday through Friday, and we know that there's something wrong in Belton if they're not there.
Wow. Now, you also do these great breakfast brunches mm-hmm. on Saturdays, right?
We do. On Saturday, we have a brunch-style menu that we run all day. And we always have our shrimp and grits. I'm from the lower part of the state, so I think my shrimp and grits are the perfect shrimp and grits. I don't like lots of things in them. It's made like a red-eye gravy with shrimp over the grits and a big biscuit to sop it all up. No sausages and mushrooms and bells and whistles.
I guess it's a homemade biscuit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joe makes the biscuits, and we make them with lard.
Lard. Yeah, I noticed you're wearing a shirt there. Praise the Lord and pass the biscuits.
That's right. Well, you know, lard is the new health food.
I know. They've just come. You know, isn't it?
Margarine and shortening are bad. Lard is good.
Don't you find it amazing that they keep changing? It's like eggs were bad.
Yes.
Now eggs are good. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my grandmother is 94 years old and healthy as can be. And she's had lard in her kitchen her entire life.
Yeah.
So, but with the brunch, we always do a waffle special. We do a sandwich special. Like this week, we're going to have the Monte Cristo, which is kind of a ham and cheese sandwich that's dipped in French toast batter and then pan fried. And then we serve it with a homemade berry preserves, which will depend on what kind of berries come in this week. I know we're getting blueberries by the buckets, which are so delicious. Strawberries have kind of ended. We're hoping for some raspberries for that sandwich.
And you'll make the preserves?
And we'll make the preserves.
See, that's what I find totally amazing, Heidi, that you make all this stuff.
We do. Well, we had someone from another restaurant come in and eat at the counter, and they said, "Oh my God, how do you make any money? You've got so many people working." I said, "Well, it takes this many people." So, well, not at our restaurant. I said, "Well, I don't want to eat at your restaurant then."
That because means they're defrosting stuff and putting it out. Yeah.
We make everything but the sliced bread. And Joe would like to make the bread, but we don't have the time and the oven space. So if I had to choose between cake and bread in his mm-hmm. oven space, so I chose cake like any woman would. So we do buy bread from a bakery, but Joe makes everything else.
You know, I love watching the show, Can This Restaurant Be Saved?
Yeah.
Yes, you know, where he goes in.
Me, it's like going to work, you know. I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. But you look at how people are fixing food and bringing it out and then going, well, people eat it. And I was like, but why, you know, sometimes.
Well, I hear that, too. As you know, I hear someone say, well, they didn't complain. Well, that's not what we're looking for. You know, it's the same thing with our food rep. He always says, let me give you this pre-made dish. It's almost as good as what you make.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking for something almost as good.
Yeah, the day you can bring it in and tell me it is as good as yours, maybe we'll take a look at
and
it.
And the money to make it stayed in my state. So,
right.
You know, we buy from the things that we can't get locally grown, we buy from Sysco. And so as part of my ambassadorship, one of the things I did was ask Sysco to give me a product list of everything made in South Carolina that they sell. They have 1,800 items.
That are made in
South Carolina that they sell.
How about that? That's amazing.
And so you can still buy from Sysco and buy local and still keep your tax dollars in your state.
You know, that's amazing. And that certainly has become something that is so big, buying local, buying South Carolina mm-hmm. produce and this type of thing. And when we come back, we're going to talk about it because Heidi has been an ambassador for what is it?
For fresh and local food on the menu.
Fresh and local food on the menu. We're going to talk some about that. Hey, don't you go away. Right now it's time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller. We're talking about food. We're talking about great food. And if you have not had the experience of going over there to Grits and Groceries at Sailor's Crossing, you need to make a plan to do that. Now, when are you open?
Tuesday through Saturday, we're open. We serve lunch on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then breakfast and lunch on Friday and Saturday. And then Thursday night, we serve dinner from 5 to 9.
Okay. So you're not open Friday night?
Nope. Just Thursday night.
Just Thursday.
We have a little boy who rides horses and shows, and so we tried to figure out how to meet the needs of customers and him. We want to be home with him every night and be the one who takes him to horse shows and ball games. So we do Thursday night. That's a good night.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, speaking of your son, how is he doing?
Wild and crazy.
Yeah.
I never thought having a child would be so fun. I purposely didn't want to. And but you know, T-bone steak and a bottle of red wine, and I have a fabulous 10-year-old, and he is a horseback rider.
What's his name? T-bone? No, just
his name is Tom. And that's part of the name.
Okay.
Then we were naming him, like, how is this going to sound on his race car? So he's Thomas Linville Troll, so he's TLT. I was trying to find an N so he could be TNT.
TNT.
But anyway, he's funny. He has a dry sense of humor like his daddy and a quick wit like his mother, a little sarcasm mixed in there. And he rides horses and he helps us in the restaurant. He's the best busboy we've ever had.
Well, you've been trained from an early age, probably, right?
Yeah. And like today, he's helping Joe. He's making the pies for the farmer's market. That's what he does. Usually, if school's in, he comes over after school and makes the pies. So today, he's working on it while we're here. And he likes to make a lattice work.
Wow.
A crumb topping and a covered pie. And he has a whole thing about that I can't remember now. He has initials for it. He calls it the something something pies. But he is very particular about how the lattice work goes. And evidently, when I do it with him, I do it wrong. So
I think that's really great. But you say that, what does he want to be when he grows up?
He's told me that he is going to be an equestrian in the Olympics and ride in the Rolex after that. So we'll be looking for sponsorship in about 5 years, because the horses for that start at $100,000.
And you need more than one.
Yeah, he told me that you need three. You need one in case your regular horse feels bad that day, and then one to do an indoor jumping, because horses either jump indoor or outdoor. So if he has to jump indoors, he needs a different horse. So he needs three.
Wow. Three horses.
I told him he better make a lot of pies between now and then and start saving up.
Well, now, Joe, he likes doing all this pastry stuff.
He does. Joe's always been a baker, and it really suits his personality. He's calm and quiet, and he follows recipes that I don't believe in. And he's always been a great baker. His family had a commercial bakery in North Carolina when he was growing up, so he's always been in bread.
He's always been in bread?
Yes.
There's two ways you could look at that one now. Okay. All right. But, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about being an ambassador, what this has meant, and promoting South Carolina. I thought it was real interesting. You told us before we went to break that 1,800 items on Sysco are made here in South Carolina.
Absolutely. So, you know, when you eat in a restaurant, you need to request that your restaurateurs are buying South Carolina produced products. And if enough people ask, they'll go to it. Because it's a convenience food, too. We have the Rawls Farm out of the lower part of the state, collard greens, green beans, and they donate a ton of money to children's charities. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Now, what have you actually had to do as the ambassador?
Well, we have four ambassadors, so one for each region of the state. I'm responsible for the upstate. And the original agreement, this is the first year of these ambassadors. And so the original agreement is that we would agree to do four events, and the state PR team helps organize that and sponsor them. We did the CWE event in Charleston. We did the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, which is promoting South Carolina to the Georgia area and all the national press. We'll do Euphoria in Greenville and then one other event. And then since it's kind of the first year, they're not quite sure what to do with us. I'm an overachiever, and so I decided that I would plan 12 other events that we've done throughout the year. We also had Joe York came in and filmed us, and it will be running on ETV's website. Mm-hmm. The kind of a little biography on Grits and Groceries and Penny Parisi, which is who grows probably about 50% of our produce right now.
Well, that's when did that happen?
They were here maybe 6 weeks ago, and it'll probably be another 6 weeks before it comes out. And I know most people don't know who Joe York is, but he is the best documentary producer, filmer, however that plays out, that I've ever seen. He does a lot of really great work in preserving oral history, and mm-hmm. he's with the Southern Foodway Alliance, which is a great organization. And that's what they do, is they go around and preserve the history of the southern states and the food, because it's getting lost.
What do you mean it's getting lost?
Well, there's not too many grandmas that know how to make those things anymore. So I was very lucky because we had a cook in our house, and then my grandmother cooked, and my dad's family all cooked. I didn't know that you could buy groceries. I thought they had to be in that cabinet on the back porch full of jars. Actually, when I was a kid, I wanted store-bought ketchup so bad that when my friends came over to my grandmother's house. No, I got a jar and washed it out and put my grandmother's homemade ketchup in it, because I didn't want people to know that we didn't have store-bought ketchup. And now I'd be like, oh my gosh, look.
You can actually make ketchup,
yeah,
huh?
It's true.
You know, that is one of the things, though. Kids, a lot of kids, you know, they don't even have any idea where the meat comes from, or vegetables, or this whole thing.
I have a funny story about that. Tom, in kindergarten, was doing a 4-H pig project, and mm-hmm. it is a market project. At the end, it has to have a market end. So he was going to sell the pig to me, and we were going to cook it and have a big barbecue. And he wanted to invite his friends. So this is great. Well, the school was very concerned because he kept talking about eating his pet. And he would talk every day in kindergarten about, the pig's name was Girl Scout, so he would talk every day about Girl Scout and what he was doing with Girl Scout. Well, it's a market pig. He has to walk it and show it through the 4-H, and then at the end, it becomes barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to the teacher, it's not a pet, it's a livestock project. And she said, well, I just don't think a kindergartner should be talking about, where, you know, killing a pig. And I said, well, you know, where does your food come from? To the grocery store, of course.
The teacher said that. Wow.
So
see, well, that's the point, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
So our son, he actually dresses all of our pigs for us that we use at the restaurant. When we do a whole hog, he is our pig dresser, and he loves it. He thinks it's great, because you also get to drive the forklift when you do it, because we use the forklift to lift the pig up while we scald and scrape the pig.
Wow.
So it's like double fun for a 10-year-old boy.
You know, you're right. These are things you just don't think about, do you?
Nope. Yep, they're not teaching that in elementary school.
No, they aren't. In fact, I don't know where they are teaching it anymore, are they? I mean,
Grits and Groceries. If you want to learn, we'll teach you. Because it's really a lot of work to scald and scrape a pig, so we'll let you help all you want.
You know, we are quite often familiar with deer meat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when it comes to T-bone steaks or ribeye steaks, you just don't think of it that way.
But usually with the deer meat around here, people take the prime meat and pretty much leave the rest. Whereas when we butcher a cow, you know, we're here to make a living. So we want to take every piece of the cow. I use the tongue, the tails. We use the tail to make stock with. And you know, that's what makes such great stock, is all that cartilage in the tail. We use every piece
this?
Of it. No.
No.
Not today, society.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I did do oxtails, and I had one person that ordered it. And she was a lady that is a wife of someone from Fuji who actually had lived somewhere else and eaten oxtails.
So she was familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, you eat it, you just don't know you're eating it, and it's delicious.
I think that's the issue, isn't it? We just don't know what we're eating. And then when you look at the ingredients, you know, today they want you to look at the ingredients that are in your food that you're buying from the grocery shelves, and you see all these preservatives and
Absolutely.
All this stuff in it, and you don't even know what the items are that are in there.
You know, also, they don't have to do, if something has less than 10% of it, mm-hmm. they don't have to disclose it in the label.
Wow.
So you could have 9.9% of a lot of other things in your food that you don't know about.
Yeah.
So I know what's in mine, M&M's.
M&M's, there you go. And that's for the cows because they love M&M's, peanut M&M's.
Yes. Well, yes. And the pigs, the last week of the pigs, we feed them only cornbread and cake.
Cornbread and cake?
Because this is the same way. They get sweet on the inside. So cornbread and cake for the last week of their life.
Now, how did you come up with knowing that?
Well, my granddaddy always, when we would do hogs for Christmas, mm-hmm. he would feed them nothing but the honey buns and the pecan swirls from the day-old bread store. My job was to separate those things out and to make sure that the pigs that were going to be for Christmas only got the honey buns and the pecan swirls because he thought that made the best barbecue.
You know, it's interesting because you grew up that way, so you don't see it as, that's just the way life
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Well, I love my animals. We take great care of them. We nurture them. We raise them. And then we eat them. You know, it's a very important part of what we do.
Have you ever been sad? Maybe you had a special or a relationship with one or something?
Nope, sorry.
No. Okay, I was just, you know, like nope, Charlotte's Web or
no,
something.
No, the whole time I'm feeding them, I'm scratching their bellies and making sure they have clean water. I'm thinking, you're going to taste so good.
Sounds a little barbaric here today, doesn't it? But when you go to Grits and Groceries, you'll know what we're talking about. Yeah. Or if you go to Uptown to the market. Now, you'll be there tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Today's Monday. Yeah. Wednesday. And any other day or just Wednesday?
We just do Wednesday. Yeah. The market is there every day, but we're right. just there on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, right. So you can get some delicious food, and yes, it'll be homegrown. And you will have a delicious experience. In fact, her whole plan is to ruin you for eating any other food, isn't it?
It is true.
That's what I thought. Hey, we're right here at Sharp Fasts. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
They say every kiss begins with... But at Sharp Facets Gallery, every smooch begins with Sharp Facets Gallery. Which do you want? A little kiss or a big smooch? I'll bet a big smooch. So shop Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, for rock bottom prices. And smooch. A bull results.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I have the pleasure of having Heidi here this afternoon. I tell you what, I've been looking over the menu here. It looks scrumptious. Eggplant Parmigiana is one of Jeff's favorite dishes. And we never really have it. And whenever we go to a restaurant and he does have it, he's always disappointed with it.
Well, I usually put the word soul food in front of my Italian dishes because I am not Italian. I have not been to Italy, and I make it the way I like it. So our eggplant parmesan is I slice the eggplant really thin and then bread it and fry it in olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then we layer it like a lasagna with no meat. But Joe makes this really nice homemade ricotta cheese. So we have layers of that and the Parmesan and bake it all together in a homemade tomato sauce that's very light with fresh basil and some of Penny Parisi's tomatoes that have been crushed and strained. Yeah. And it's very light. And then I serve it with julienne spinach in the sauce so you get a little more texture to it. And I love eggplant. And eggplant's really a hard sell here.
It is a hard sell. You're right.
And growing up, we ate a lot of eggplant. And up here, a little not so easy to sell, but the people that eat it like it.
Well, if you are going to be there on Wednesday from 10 to 2, I'm going to have to come down and get some eggplant parmesan because Jeff just loves eggplant parmesan. Well, you know, I had you on because I just wanted to talk about some of the neat things that you're doing. I know that you just keep expanding. I was looking at your Facebook page, 10,000 likes.
We did something with Whole Foods, and they said, wow, you have more Facebook followers than we do. Like, well, okay.
Yeah. No, but I think that's neat, and I really think it's you're to be applauded because, number one, where you are in Sailor's Crossing, it's not a metropolitan area. People have to really go there to want to to see you, and yet you're always busy. People have to wait sometimes to be able to get to a table, And I just think it's so awesome. And I just wanted to have you on and say, wow, kudos to you for being able to make a go of it. A restaurant is a hard business to run.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we try really hard, and we love it when people tell us we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear the good parts.
Yeah. Because, you know, and the very fact I was looking at, you said you have everything which is local, or shall we say South Carolina. I was looking at the shrimp. Now, I was saying, now the shrimp aren't from South Carolina, are they?
Well, they're as close as we can get. They're called Carolina Gold, and right now they're coming out of Beaufort. And when the season changes, they'll come off the East Coast. And this company called Carolina Gold will catch the shrimp and process them. And that's who we order, and we get them through Sysco. It's one of the products that they have that is South Carolina grown and processed. So I couldn't find anybody in my 100-mile radius that were raising shrimp.
No, we don't really have the right area, do we, up here?
I think there'd be a trout farmer up here, or, you know, some kind of aquaculture with as many lakes as we have.
But there isn't, is there?
Mm-mm. No. I see the guys go by every day past my restaurant that are going to the lakes. They're bait fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, while they're out there, if they could catch me a few fish, that would be really nice. But they go out every night and catch bait fish. I think that's an interesting job.
They catch the fish to bait the big fish.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they sell to all the bait shops. Yeah. So I was like, that's a pretty interesting job, and it must do pretty well because they have very nice boats.
Yeah, they have very nice boats. Well, that's a sign right there. Well, you know, now we're talking about desserts because everybody likes dessert. What is one of Joe's favorite desserts?
One of the things that is I'll tell you, the two most popular things are chocolate Coca-Cola cake,
mm-hmm.
which everybody remembers from their childhood and loves. And he makes a lemon pound cake all year long. That was his grandmother's recipe, and then we serve it with different fruits. Like right now, it's with whipped cream and blueberries because we have a lady who grows the most fabulous blueberries. And I'm a little selfish because I buy every blueberry she picks. I don't want anyone else to have them.
Okay.
So I buy them all. So if you want to eat them, you have to eat them for me.
And where's her place at?
She's just a mile up the road from us, and she used to like just sell them out front of her house. And I started eating them. And what she does is she goes to her 12 trees,
right,
and she tastes the berry to decide which ones are ready to pick, and she won't let anyone help her pick them because she wants them picked perfectly twisted and not just raked off the trees like they do commercially. So they are the best berries. Today Joe's at the restaurant making pie with them, and then they're making blueberry jam that we'll put up to have for the winter time.
Wow. You know, it does remind you of your grandparents.
Yep.
Doesn't it?
It
you know
does.
Growing up with good food and maybe not the skinniest food, but it was always good to come home
for
dinner.
Yeah, but I tell you, if you work picking that food, you can eat it.
That's right. That is a big difference,
isn't
it?
That is a difference, yeah. My grandparents, I grew up in my grandparents' home, and my dad's parents canned everything. And we had a walk-in closet full of food. If the world would have ended in 1989, we'd still be eating out of that closet.
You know, that is the one thing that has become a lot more popular, hasn't it? Canning.
It is.
I mean, I talked to Rhonda with Clemson Extension, and she says she is just so busy teaching people how to can.
Yeah, and she does a really good job with it. One of the things for us at the restaurant, to be able to sell the things that we can, Joe had to go to University of North Carolina and take a course on it. So Joe is certified in canning food on a national level, which we had no idea that existed.
Wow.
But it's really interesting in the history of canning. Like I said, you know, I know there are things in my grandmother's pantry that have been there for 10 years, 20 years, that I'd still eat.
Right.
But maybe with my eyes closed, but I'd still eat.
Well, you know, and you have to be very careful how you do this.
Absolutely.
I think that's the food safety issue of it.
That's true. You know, if you do something wrong and you have a large batch,
right,
you'll have a lot of something wrong. But there, you know, also there's ways to tell. That's why you have the little pop on the top, so you know if it's right.
Yeah. But and I always find it very interesting that you can even can meat.
Yes.
You know.
Well, we always canned meat. When we did a pig, we did a pig twice a year, and my granddaddy canned the meat. He canned stewed chicken,
mm-hmm.
and so we had tomato
chicken.
And tomatoes stewed together. So in the wintertime when it was really cold, a lot of times for supper, we'd have a bowl of rice with that stewed chicken on it, and it was the perfect supper, a piece of cornbread.
Yeah. It's good. It's all good. And if you want really good food, I've got to tell you this, folks. I had her on just because I wanted to have her on because I wanted to sit down and talk about food. Not because of anything else, but I just think it's amazing that there are people out there, and like you said, preserving the culture of South Carolina or the South's food is so important in this world. But I think that people don't realize sometimes the things that are in our own backyard.
Absolutely.
So that's, I just had you on just because it's been a year and we thought, well, let's sit down and talk about it and find out about being an ambassador. And looks like you are out there helping promote and keeping South Carolina in the news when it comes to food.
Yep. You know, the Department of Parks actually has an app that you can put on your phone that, since everyone uses their phone for everything, that
right.
when you get into an area, it will pick up and tell you what is an independently owned small locally purchasing restaurant.
I didn't know that.
I can't tell you how to get there.
Okay.
But I know that I have it on my phone, but it's through the
South Carolina Parks?
Yes.
Wow. That is terrific. You know, you're listening to WCRS right now. You know, I had somebody from Parks and Tourism come on, and they have the same type of thing with barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
They have the barbecue trail or
yeah.
something.
Well, it's that same kind of app, but it tells you what's fresh and local in your area.
Wow. I'm going to have to check that out. Mm-hmm. I guess you're on there.
Yeah, I have it on my phone, but I can't tell you how to get there.
No, but you have it. But you, yeah. I bet y'all are on it when you get close to Sailor's Crossing. The thing goes off and goes, got to stop here, got to stop here.
Don't listen to your GPS to get there, though.
You know, that is an amazing thing, isn't it, about GPS? You know, we have that problem with 1220 bypass 72, and then there's a 1220 72, and it all the time messes up. Even our mail has gotten messed up with that. But Heidi Troll, it has been an absolute delight to have you here this afternoon. We are going to have to get down there and see if we can't get Jeff some of that eggplant parmigiana on Wednesday from 10 to 2. Now, the market right now is 301 Edgefield Street behind Kickers. How's that working over there?
We were a little worried about being behind Kickers, but it's been great. And I hope it doesn't affect Kickers parking because it's not a lot of parking over there, but it's worked really great for all of us. And like I said, we're so excited about the new facility opening and all the different things. My understanding, and I could be wrong, is that they're going to have an incubator kitchen in there maybe for people that do like to cook and sell food but don't have a legal kitchen.
Right.
I hope that's not wrong.
Okay.
It sounds like they're going to do a lot of neat stuff in that space, and it's really a community-oriented space, so I hope people take advantage of it and use it and enjoy it and have parties and markets. And
Make sure you're ordering from Grits and Groceries.
That's right.
Okay, now if somebody wants to call you, how do they call?
We are 864-296-3316.
Okay.
And then our website, we post the menus change every week, and so we post them every week at gritsandgroceries.com.
That's right. And you even cater events. I saw where you do breakfasts and you do lunches, right?
We do. We'll do a drop-off catering for offices and parties. We do events at the restaurant. If you have a group of 20 or more, come to the restaurant and we'll throw a party. And we don't do a lot of off-property, full-blown catering. We're just not quite big enough for that. But
you do, like people can pick up or you'll drop it off?
Yep, we do.
So check out their website. It's very, very informative, gritsandgroceries.com. Check it out. And also, you've got a Facebook page.
We've got everything. We're high-tech rednecks.
High-tech rednecks!
Twitter, tweet, post, call, text, Facebook, we do it all.
You do it all. Well, Heidi, it's been a real joy to sit down and talk to you today. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.